Hello, and welcome to the Finding Wholeness podcast. I'm your host, Kimberly J. Holdeman. About 3 years ago, I rededicated my life to Christ, and my life completely changed. I got rid of fear, shame, and all the lies I had been believing about myself. Now, I want to help you get unstuck, become fully alive, and get your breakthrough. Hello, hello, and welcome back. So glad that you can join me today. On this episode, we're going to be talking about my birth story. Yay! I wanted to share it because now I feel like everyone is sharing theirs, especially people like online, whether they have a YouTube channel. I've even seen some people share theirs on a podcast. So I was like, why not? I'm going to share mine. And I do love my birth story, so I'm so excited to share it. One thing that I wanted to share about mine is that I was specifically praying for certain things to happen, and it didn't happen. So we're going to just talk about from when I got pregnant until me giving birth and everything in between. So it all started back in March of 2018. Actually, January of 2018, me and my husband were like deciding if we wanted to start trying for a baby or wait. And you know, a lot of people give their opinions and they think that they want to say, wait, you should wait. We were only married about 6 months at that time. And I was getting close to 30. I'm about 2.5 years older than him. And we want a lot of kids. So we're just like, why wait? You know, but we knew finances weren't perfect. But we were like, hey, let's do it. But sometimes it's hard not to listen to other people's opinions and advice. And a lot of people say, you should wait till this, or you should wait until such and such is taken care of, or yada, yada, yada. And so we were kind of conflicted on, we should wait or should we just go for it? And so in January, we were like, okay, let's just put it in God's hands and let's just, hey, if it happens, it happens. And God's okay with it. If it doesn't, then God's saying it's not time. We'll wait. So we decided in January, and in March, we got pregnant. We were so excited. We only told family, but about 6 weeks into the pregnancy, I was starting to spot and there was cramping. And so I wasn't sure if I was having a miscarriage. Now, as soon as I found out I was pregnant, I bought the book Supernatural Childbirth by Jackie Mize. I think that's how you say your last name. And it's an amazing book. I'm pretty sure it's well known in like the Christian community. But I heard about it from other Christians, and it's just an amazing book about a woman who was told that she was never going to be able to have children, told by doctors just because of something, complications going on with her body. But she ended up having 4 children, not at the same time, but just 4 children in her lifetime. And it was just an amazing blessing. And she talks about just going through that. And she talks about not the first child, but the last 3 she had without any pain. No pain, no complications, none of that. And it's an amazing book. And there's lots of prayers and like declarations that you can say over yourself if you're also believing for a supernatural pregnancy. And basically the gist behind it is that, I'm holding my baby, so I'm trying to multitask. The gist behind the supernatural pregnancy is that because of what Jesus did, because he died for us on the cross, you know, we don't have to have pain. And we can pray and we can ask for healing to get rid of headaches and to get rid of, you know, aches and pains and any type of sickness. So if we can do that, then why can't we do that during childbirth? And so that's what she was saying, because I don't know about any of my listeners, but I have seen multiple people get healed. I have even prayed for people and have seen them get healed right in front of me. I've prayed for just pain in knees and ankles. I've prayed for fevers, and I've seen the healing power of God, and I've seen people get healed. So if God can heal all that stuff, and he's no respecter of persons, I'm pretty sure that pregnancy, I'm pretty sure he's not going to be like, no, you women, I'm just going to let you guys suffer. And in the book, there's just wait. At the end, there's so many more testimonies of other women who have prayed, declared, and believed for supernatural pregnancies, and they got it. So I started reading this book in March, and like I said, 6 weeks after I found out I was pregnant, I started having spotting and cramping. And it was the middle of the night, and my husband was working an overnight shift at that time. So I was home alone, and I was so scared. And I called him, and he, of course, rushed home. And the whole time, though, I just wasn't sure what was going on. Probably because I Googled it, which I don't suggest you do in a lot of medical situations. Just because Google, you will get some random stuff, and you'll get a lot of different articles and opinions. So it's best to just consult with your doctor. But I went on Google because it was 5 a.m. and there was just so many different things. People say, oh, it could be this. Oh, it could be this, blah, blah, blah. So I didn't know what was going on. It wasn't like what I would expect a miscarriage to be. So I wasn't sure. And in the back of my supernatural childbirth book, like I said, there's prayers, declarations. There's a section to pray for if you're wanting to get pregnant, like even before, like when you're trying to conceive. There's a section for when you are pregnant and you're just praying and believing for a healthy pregnancy and a healthy baby. And there's a section if you might have some complications and you don't want a miscarriage. And there's a section of prayers and declarations for that. So I immediately turn to that section and I start saying those prayers, saying those declarations. And me and Devin, my husband, were just praying and praying. And so we wait until the doctor's office opens, and I call and I say, hey, I tell them what's going on. The doctor wasn't even in yet. So the nurse just told me, go get some lab work done. And then once they get the lab work, they will be able to tell, depending on my hormone levels, I think it's the HCG, if it's high or low, they should be able to tell if it was a miscarriage. So I go to the doctor's office, get some lab work done. You know, obviously, I don't even know what time it was, but they didn't have the results back until the next day. So it's just frustrating. My emotions are high, and it's just too much. It is a lot going on, which I'm not going to talk about really the emotional side, what I was going through during this time, because that would take forever. So I'm going to do that in another episode at a later time. But the next day we got the results back, and the nurse was like, so the levels didn't change. They're pretty much the same. So we're going to just have you wait a couple days and then come back. And if they went lower, then that means that you did in fact have a miscarriage. If they are the same or they go high, then that means everything should be okay. So we're just going to continue to just stay in touch. If there's any more symptoms, you know, give us a call. That's what she was saying. But they were going to have me wait, I think, about 3 or 4 days. So not even including the weekend. So I wasn't going to go back to that next Wednesday. So this whole ordeal took about a whole week. And it was very frustrating and a lot of tears and a lot of emotions. So during this whole time, me and my husband are praying like crazy. I am saying those declarations night and day. And I communicating with my family. And one of my best friends, her name is Kimmy, And she just kept praying for me, and we're praying the whole time. Where she even has the book. She's not pregnant. She doesn't have kids yet, but she has the book, and so that helped a lot. She was saying the same declarations as I was, the same prayers as I was. And so we're praying, and you know what? Just saying it out loud and praying, it built my faith up to, I think, the highest it had ever been at that point. Like, I was like, because they got the results back and it like didn't go down, I was like, this is God blessing us where you're not having a miscarriage. Like, I knew in my heart that the baby was still alive. I had named it. I can feel, it's like I could feel the baby. And some women, a lot of women say they can feel a connection when they are pregnant. Even early on, like, you can connect to what's inside of you. And no, you couldn't tell me nothing. Like, that baby was alive and everything was okay. So that Wednesday, I go in, get lab work done, and I have to wait another day as it was so busy. So they weren't going to tell me until Thursday. But that Wednesday night, it was Wednesday night service at our church. So we go to church, and at the end of the service, the pastor is calling people up, asking if they need prayer. And so many people are going up. Me and Devin go up. We're towards the end of the line, and he's just going boom, 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 down the line, praying for a whole bunch of people. And then he comes to me and Devin, and he just kind of looks at me, and he says, "You need prayer for a baby, right?" And I was like, "What?" Because we didn't tell him. We just told family that I was even pregnant. And so we only told family, they were the only ones, plus my best friend, about what was going on with the complications. And so I was like, wow, this is totally God. Oh my gosh, he's going to confirm that the baby is okay. So I'm super pumped. He goes on, prays, and then he prophesies over me. He has me put my hand on my abdomen, on my lower stomach, and he has Devin put his hand over mine, and he's praying and prophesying, and he says, "You're going to be pregnant. I see you pregnant in like 3 months." And I'm like, okay. And then afterwards, I'm like, I'm already pregnant, so maybe he doesn't know what he's talking about. Maybe he's not as good as people say, because people have been saying, like, he's so good when it comes to, like, getting a word that a woman's going to be pregnant. And so I was just, like, a little confused, like, what's going on? And then afterwards, a lady in the congregation comes up and gives her testimony of how she had just struggles with getting pregnant, and she's had multiple miscarriages, and then the pastor had gave her word that she would be pregnant, and then she ended up pregnant within that time frame, which was so encouraging, and I love hearing testimonies. But I was like, still kind of confused, like, I'm already pregnant, so what does he mean I'm going to be pregnant in 3 months? So confused. So then that next day, Thursday, we get the phone call from the doctor's office, and I'm super stoked, like, yeah, they're going to tell me that everything's fine with the baby, and my hormone levels skyrocketed, and I'm smiling. I answer the phone like, "Hello, this is her, this is Kimberly," and then my voice and everything changes within an instant. She was like, "Hi, Kimberly. So we got the results back, and it looks like your hormone levels did start to decrease by a lot, and they're pretty low, which means that you did have a miscarriage last week. It's just taking some time for your hormone levels to go down." And as she's saying that, I'm still smiling because it hasn't hit me yet. I'm like, "Wait, what? Huh?" And she's like, "You had a miscarriage." And I was like, I couldn't even finish the conversation. I am trying to hold back tears. You know when you're trying to hold back tears, but you still have to talk? It was so hard. And I could barely say anything. And she couldn't hear me. She's like, "Kimberly, are you still there? Are you still there?" And I literally just want to hang out. But I'm just like, "Yeah, I'm still here." And she's like, "The doctor does want you to come in next week just to make sure. We're going to check your blood work again. Blah, 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 blah." I've totally tuned her out. I can't hear her because I am just so many emotions just rushed in, and I'm just like, what the heck? Like I said, we're not going to get into all of that and what basically happened afterwards, because that's a whole nother episode. But the gist of it was I had a miscarriage and was very confused. Basically because I was like praying and I said those declarations and my faith was sky high. And so I'm like, okay, I said those declarations, but they didn't work. So what now? And I'll get more into that in my next episode. But my husband reminded me, hey, we got a word last night, remember, that you would be pregnant in about 3 months. And so I'm like, oh, snap. So I wasn't even pregnant this whole last week because I did have a miscarriage when I had the cramping and spotting. So I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, thank you, Jesus. Like, that is a blessing. That is amazing that that just happened in my life. Like, I thought I was pregnant and God knew I wasn't pregnant. And that's why he gave me a word. And that word helped me. I had a word to fight on, to stand on, to cling on, to get me through the grief. And so we're just waiting for 3 months. And it's so crazy because when I went to go see the doctor in a couple days just to get checked out and everything, he told me, okay, after a miscarriage, I need you to wait about, 2 to 3 months before you even have sex again. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, just how things line up. Like, I'm not a person that believes in coincidences. I was like, okay, this is all God. Okay. I see you, God. I see you. So we're just waiting patiently, kind of. I'm not a real patient person. I'm trying. So the waiting part was kind of hard. But it's getting close to the 3 months. And then I have a dream, which is weird. The same pastor that gave me the word, he was in the dream. And he was with me and my husband. And he asked, he just like walked up to us at our house. He was like, hey, do you have any pregnancy test? I want to give one to my daughter. And I'm like, okay. And I give him one because I had extra in my house. I give him one. And then other stuff happened in the dream. I don't really remember. But I do have a lot of dreams. And a lot of my dreams, like, they are legit. They are so legit. I might do an episode on that in the future. Like, some stuff comes true. So I'm a type of person who I have vivid dreams, very, very vivid dreams. They're so vivid that sometimes I don't know if it's a dream or it really happened. And I write down my dreams because I usually remember them and they usually mean stuff. So when I woke up, I was like, oh snap, it's time to try. We're getting pregnant. Like, I knew because I have like this dream interpretation book. And I know that pastors in dreams can oftentimes represent like God or Jesus. So I was like, okay, I don't know. I just, him being in the dream and asking for a pregnancy test, I was like, that means it's time to try. So we tried that month and boom, I was pregnant again. Also, after you have a miscarriage, you are very fertile during that time. So, but you still have to time it up, lining up with like when you're ovulating and all that stuff. So yeah, it was God. And which is also funny because like a couple weeks after I found out I was pregnant, he mentioned that his daughter was pregnant. Yeah. Yep. My dreams are totally legit. So pregnancy. Now I'm in the pregnancy and I was finding out in the middle of June. And I'm still praying and saying all those prayers and declarations in the book. Now my pregnancy was pretty easy. Of course I had like some fatigue, in the beginning. But other than that, it was pretty good. Because, we hear a lot about women who have horrible pregnancies or it's very rough, a lot of nausea, all that stuff. I didn't have any of that. I had some fatigue in the beginning. I had some nausea, mostly because I had so much heartburn, acid reflux. But other than that, I don't consider my pregnancy hard at all. The only hard part was that I was working overnight at my job, which was, I don't recommend that to anyone. Like, working overnight, not being pregnant, is hard enough. Can I get a witness? Like, the struggle is real, trying to stay up all night. And I'm a night owl. And usually I was fine. I can go without even coffee. When I would have free time, I would bring books or bring my laptop, work on stuff. One time I even brought in like crochet stuff to try to teach myself how to crochet. Yeah, like people would always like think it was so weird because sometimes my coworkers would be like barely making it through the shift. But for me, breeze. Not so much when I got pregnant. Those shifts became extremely hard and I could barely keep my eyes open. So that was rough. But for the most part, my pregnancy was easy. Until it wasn't. Towards the end, which we'll talk about in a bit. But as far as my faith during the whole time, I was trying really hard to stay positive. Mostly because, you know, when you hear people talk about pregnancy, or even when you watch TV or movies and they mention pregnancy, it's always negative. It's about 90% negative and only about 10%, if that, of positive stories. Like, you see women screaming their heads off, cussing out their husband. Like, you see them act a fool, and it's like, it's like ruins it for everyone. Like, before, it's like, do you even want to have kids? When you see, like, women screaming like they're being, like, stabbed to death, like, it looks horrible when you think about it. And so that's all you see, and it just creates more and more fear. And so already just having to deal with that in your own mind, like, you know, saying those declarations like, no, this is not how it's going to be for me. I do not, you know, I don't believe that. I don't believe that I'm going to have fear. And you're just saying these declarations and all of that stuff. And then you have people who, once they find out you're pregnant, they want to give you their advice and their opinions. And a lot of times most of the times they have good intentions, you know, they're just trying to help out and I guess prepare you. But it ends up always being negative. You know, I would always hear, oh my gosh, you're pregnant? You better get as much sleep now because you're not going to get any sleep once the baby's born. Like, hello, that's negative. Do you not hear the words coming out of your mouth? That's negative. You know, like, oh my gosh, you're pregnant? Congrats. Oh my gosh. You're going to totally need an epidural because pregnancy is horrible. It's so much pain. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, I want to say shut up to some people. Like, some people had to tune them out because it's just negative. You know, like, I don't know if they don't understand or no one's ever told them, hey, can you maybe keep the negativity to yourself? Maybe that's it. But it's just frustrating and just having all of this negativity like thrown at you when you're trying super hard to stay positive. And not even with just pregnancy, like anytime when you're trying really hard to be positive, it just seems like everyone around you is just being so negative. And it's just like, stop, please stop. And I was really praying and believing for no pain, no interventions, you know, no epidural needed, none of that stuff. And then every time you talk to someone, oh, you're going to need an epidural. You're going to need one. And I was trying so hard. I would even have nightmares and it was getting like so bad. Like, and I think a lot of that stuff was just maybe just fear and anxiety, just being so much during that time. I would always have like nightmares that I would lose the baby or there'd be horrible complications. And it got really worse, you know, towards the end, like around third trimester, because, you know, it's getting close to the end when you're actually going to have to give birth. And I just kind of thought to myself, like, can I actually do this natural? Like, yeah, God could bless me, but could I even try? Like, for me personally, I haven't experienced a lot of pain. I've never broken a bone. I've never really been in physical pain. So I don't really know what my like pain threshold would be. Like some people know, oh, well, they can compare it to this or that. I have really nothing to compare it to. And I just felt like so much stress to try to do it natural, or is my faith strong enough to do it natural? Is my faith strong enough to keep believing for a supernatural pregnancy, to actually have a supernatural pregnancy? So I had a lot of those thoughts in my mind. And it did help. Like, I would try so hard to watch YouTube videos of other women who had supernatural pregnancies, other women who did it natural, and I would only try to focus on the positive. And then I just kind of, one point was just like, well, whatever happens, happens. But I think as a Christian, it's like, okay, but if you're praying for something, it was just like, I can't even like say exactly what I was feeling because it's just so much. And I think when you're pregnant, your emotions are already wild. So it's just like regular pregnancy emotions plus fear plus anxiety. And then it's just like, okay, but I'm trying to be a good Christian. I'm trying to pray and believe because I know God heals. But what if he doesn't heal this time? Because God doesn't always heal when we want him to. So it was a lot going on. But I finally kind of realized, like, if I end up getting an epidural, that does not, my value or my, me being a Christian, that doesn't change. Right? Like, God never, it doesn't say in the Bible, like, you must pray and must go through childbirth naturally. Because if we're all going to be like, as a Christian, I should be praying for a supernatural pregnancy, or I should be praying so hard and believing that I won't have pain or I won't need any interventions or any of that stuff, then that's saying, like, oh, I'll never, I'm not going to take Tylenol because even though I might need it, I'm just going to keep praying until the headache goes away, which you can. And which, if you have a headache, you know, maybe we as Christians should get to an area where when we have pain, we should pray first before we pop a Tylenol or an ibuprofen. But just because you take that ibuprofen or Tylenol does not make you less of a Christian. And just because you get an epidural doesn't make you less of a Christian. It doesn't make you less of a woman either. So I kind of had to fight with that internal dialogue of, okay, I'm praying and believing for something, but what if it doesn't happen? And that's the struggle that I had. And then I just kind of would keep asking for God's peace about this. Then it got to the end where my blood pressure was getting pretty high, too high for the doctor. Not extremely high. My blood pressure normally is really low. It's about 110 over like 60. And then towards the end of the third trimester, it started getting high to where it was about 140 over 90 and above, which they try to stop it before it gets to, you know, preeclampsia. And 140 over 90 is when they, you know, that's hypertension. They get concerned then. Also, I was having low amniotic fluid. They checked. It was like getting extremely low. So I didn't even have a choice. Then it was okay, your blood pressure is high. You're going to need to be induced. So, and I, from what I've heard and all the research I've done and the YouTube videos I was watching, if you're going to get induced, you might as well just plan on getting epidural because, you know, when you get induced, those pains come on stronger and sometimes on top of each other instead of gradually, like when you do it naturally. So I was just like, what the heck? I'm praying for one thing and now I don't even like. What? Now I'm just gonna have to get induced and get an epidural? So I was just all types of messed up in my mind. Like, what's going on? But I just kept praying that it would be like God would just take over and he would give me peace. And now I was just praying for no more further complications and a healthy baby. Because I was just like, it's going to happen. Like, I'm going to get induced. I'd rather get induced and get this baby out now because I didn't want my blood pressure to get higher. So we go in and we get induced. I go in Wednesday night. This is February the 13th. And I get in there at 7. I think they give me, was it Cervidil or something? They give me a medicine orally to take to kind of widen my cervix because I was at 1 centimeter dilated. And the last office visit I had, I was at 1 centimeter dilated, 0 effaced. And so, yeah, go in there, 7 p.m. Wednesday night, get all situated and everything in the bed, get all hooked up to all the IVs and all of that jazz. And they check me. I am still about, actually, I think they said I was about 50% effaced, maybe. I can't remember. It was a blur. But I was still 1.5 centimeter dilated. So I take the medicine orally. And then a little bit later, they give me another dose. I think it was about 4 hours later. And then I'm at about 75% dilated. And then they check me a couple hours later. And I'm at 100% effaced. Yeah, I'm at 100% effaced. And now I'm about 3 centimeters dilated. And I'm stuck in bed because I'm hooked up to all these IVs. And it was, those contractions were coming so fast. And I'm not even on Pitocin yet. They're just coming. And let me tell you, lying down when you have contractions, that's no bueno. That was not fun at all. And when I finally was like, I need an epidural. And they're like, oh yeah, you can get one. Because I went from 1 centimeter to 3 centimeters pretty quickly. And when I finally sat up and I had a contraction, it was still bad, but it wasn't like unbearable. Because I was sitting up, I was able to move. But they had me hooked up to IVs and both monitors because my little precious baby is a sleepyhead. And she was sleeping so much that, and I had so, like, my amniotic fluid was so low that they had to monitor her. And it was just like, it was just getting lower and lower. Like, I came in that Monday and it was at a certain volume. And then by Wednesday, it was like even lower. So I was like hooked up. Like, I had to lay in bed, could not get up. And she was just sleeping. They couldn't get a good read on her. So it was just so rough to not be able to move when you're getting those contractions. So when I finally got the epidural, the first one didn't even take. Oh my gosh. I had to lay on my back because before I was laying down, but I was either on like one side or the other. But this time, because I had the epidural, they had to make sure I was flat on my back so that it can spread out evenly to both sides of my legs. And that was the worst. And the epidural did not take, so I had to just wait. And they said, oh, it will be another 5 minutes. Oh, maybe another 5 minutes, you know, just wait. And I was like, no, I don't feel numb at all. I don't feel it. I feel everything. And so they called the anesthesiologist back. I got another epidural. And oh my gosh, that kicked in finally. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. This is no pain. I prayed for no pain. I'm getting no pain. It was good. And it was pretty much smooth sailing after that. And they weren't going to give me Pitocin until like in the morning. It's, I think, I don't know, it's in the middle of the night. And I'm 5 centimeters dilated. They check again later. I'm 6 centimeters dilated. And I'm like, good, we don't need Pitocin then. Don't give me Pitocin if I don't need it. If I got to 6 centimeters by myself. But after the epidural, and I stayed at 6 centimeters dilated. Like, I stayed there for a while, and they were getting a little nervous. And so they gave me the Pitocin, and it was getting almost daylight. It was getting toward the morning, and it was about 7, and I was still at 6. They wanted me to progress, but I wasn't progressing fast enough, and the contractions were so strong at that point, even though I couldn't feel it, because I was feeling good, but the baby could feel it, because there was, like, hardly any amniotic fluid. And so she was getting, like, knocked around on the inside, and there wasn't enough, like, amniotic fluid to cushion her. So then they were like, okay, so we're going to stop the Pitocin really quick, let her relax, let the baby relax, because she's getting, like, pushed and knocked back and forth up in there. And if it's not progressing, then we're going to have to do a C-section. Ooh, fear came in real strong. It came in real strong. By the way, I also came in with, like, so much stuff. Like, I thought I was going to be able to move. I didn't know I was really going to have to be in bed the whole time. I made playlists of, like, worship music to listen to. I brought some essential oils. I brought in, like, my declarations that I was going to say. Blah, 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 blah. Like, no. It was too much of a blur. Like, I didn't even use any of that stuff. And I did set up my husband brought, like, an Echo or something, the Echo Dot or something to use to play music on his phone. He hooked up his phone so he can play music on the speaker. Then this fool goes downstairs to go get food at the cafeteria, and it disconnects. And so, like, during when I was, like, having contractions and I'm freaking out because they tell me I might be having a C-section, the music shuts off and he's gone. And then later I just forget about it because I just need silence. So I don't know why, but that C-section, when I heard that, I was about to cry. I just did not want a C-section. I think a lot of it was I was just scared. I was just scared. I didn't want to be put under fully to have the C-section because I wanted to have, like, that skin-on-skin contact, like, right away. I wanted to be awake to see her and to experience childbirth, but I also didn't want just an epidural or a spinal and to be, like, awake when they're cutting me open. That just freaks me out to a whole nother level, even though I should be able to not feel it. And see, this is why I was getting so mad at people always telling their negative stories, because I heard someone was like, oh my gosh, I had a C-section and I felt everything. Like, shut up. So that I just hear that story replaying in the back of my mind, and I'm like freaking out and I can't, like, control it. I can't get on top of the fear because it was just too much, and I couldn't take it. So I was, like, about to cry, and I was like, no. I kind of finally was, like, breathing, and I was doing deep breathing exercises, and I was like, no, I am not having a C-section. And my blood pressure kept getting high, and they were like, your blood pressure is getting high. The contractions are too strong for the baby because there's not enough amniotic fluid. We're going to have to do a C-section. When we're going to wait for your doctor to come in. They call the doctor. This fool is about to go to a dentist appointment. And I was like, can he come in now? No, he finished his dentist appointment. But it's okay. The nurses were great. Everything was okay at that point because they did stop the Pitocin. And they gave me a shot of something that was going to help my uterus, like, stop contracting so much. So strongly, so it wouldn't hurt the baby. And so we're just kind of waiting for him to come in. He comes in and he's like, So the nurses filled me in, so we might have to do a C-section on you, but we're gonna check to see if you're still at 6 centimeters dilated. We're gonna do a C-section, but we're gonna check. We're just gonna see how far along you are. So he checks me, and he's like, "Oh, the baby's head is still way up here." And I'm like, "It better not be way up there." Like, what? They just told me it was pretty low, like, not that long ago. And then he's like, "Oh, wait, no, that's not the head. That was the shoulder." And I was like, "Oh," he's like, "Oh, you are about 10 centimeters dilated." I was like, "Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, so good. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my God." Like, you guys don't even understand. Like, that was all types of God. That was all God. My blood pressure was going crazy during that time. It just kept going high and high. And of course, it's going to keep going high and high when I'm getting stressed out and I'm afraid to have a C-section. And the last time they checked me, which was an hour ago, before that, I was still at 6 centimeters dilated. And I finally, during that time where I'm waiting and they're waiting for my doctor to come back from his dentist appointment, I finally got my crap together and I was like, "No, I'm believing God. I am not having a C-section. I'm having this baby. I'm going to be 10 centimeters dilated." And when that doctor came in and checked me and said I was 10 centimeters dilated, whoa, I could have jumped out of that bed. I was like, "Oh my goodness. If this isn't God, I don't know what is." So I was super pumped. I was like, "All right then, let's have this baby. Let's do it." So he's like, "Okay, well, we're gonna start, get the, 'cause they gave me some medicine that like slowed everything down, so they had to do whatever they needed to do. I think it was the Pitocin to kind of just kind of like kickstart my uterus going back." And then so yeah, they kind of gave me a little bit. I could relax. Called my mom. Well, she was already there, but just at my sister. My mom, I had to call my sister because she had just left. And we called my dad to let him know that the baby was like on its way. And then it was basically go time. And so they're getting me all prepped. My legs are up. And I'm getting ready to push. And my dad walks in. So I had only wanted my mom in there, and my husband, obviously. And if there was some places have a limit on how many people can be on there. So if I could have more than two, then I was gonna have my sister in there too. But that's about it. And I guess I didn't really communicate that part with my dad. And so he just walks in like right when I'm getting ready to push. He kind of like as does this awkward stand in the corner where he's just kind of like staring at the ceiling. But and I was so pumped and so like, "Oh my gosh, I'm about to push." I didn't even care. I was like, "YOLO, whatever. It's my dad." It's not like some strange man in there. And so I was like, "Whatever." So I pushed for like 20 minutes and it was amazing. And she came out, and at first I just had this huge laugh when she finally came out. And I was just like, "Oh my gosh, this is the most amazing experience of my life." And then the laugh turned into this mixed laugh cry thing. And then eventually I was just ugly crying when they finally threw her on my chest, and snot was coming down. I was like legit Kim Kardashian, ugly crying. But it was the most amazing experience of my life, and I don't feel any shame or guilt either for having to get induced, and I don't feel any shame or guilt for using the epidural. And I think a lot of women, they plan or they envision their pregnancy and their birth to go a certain way, and then when it doesn't, it's like it's hard to let that go, especially when you're praying for it. But for me, I think right before when I knew I was going to have to get the induction and get the epidural, I just kind of had the dialogue with God, and I was like, okay, so what do I do with this? Because I prayed for it and I didn't get it. And the thing is, like, God just wanted me to find the beauty in it. Like, yeah, I might not have got what I prayed for, but God has bigger plans. And for me, I always say, like, who am I to question God? Like, who am I to put God in the hot seat and be like, this didn't happen, why? It's like, sometimes we put God in a box when we don't get the things we want. Like, it's God. If we got everything we wanted and we could question him all the time and get the answers we wanted, or to get an answer at all, is to lower who he is. He's God. Who are we? You know? And I think the thing that helped me, really, is what he was basically wanting me to learn was, you are still a Christian. You still have faith. You still have value. You still have worth. Whether you think something defines you as a Christian or not, because I think it was more of a mindset thing with me, really, and a fear thing with me. I was afraid of getting epidural because I'm afraid of needles. So if I had no fear anyways, I think the fear kind of led into, oh, I'm going natural, you know, instead of me actually wanting to go natural. And I think me wanting supernatural was, oh, I did it supernaturally, instead of, hey, I gave birth to a healthy, beautiful baby girl, you know? And like, sometimes God has to check your motives. And he checked mine, because my motives were, I think I want a supernatural pregnancy to glorify God, which I glorify him in everything I can. But I think the deeper thing was, I had fear, and I had to know that whether this works out or not, I still have faith. Like, me not having an epidural does not mean that I have faith. And so I learned a lot of lessons in that, which was beautiful. And for her to be born when I had such low amniotic fluid was amazing. And for me to not need a C-section was amazing. And she was born 18 inches and 5 pounds and 1 ounce. And I was 39 weeks. They induced me early because my blood pressure kept being high. And so for her to be that small, and they took out the placenta and they said it was like crazy small, there could have been some complications that we missed and the doctor missed during the pregnancy. And that's kind of scary. But God obviously was over this the whole time. And that's the main blessing. So I just wanted to share that story, and I hope you all enjoyed it. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. Make sure that you share with your friends and leave a review. That will help out so much. Please subscribe and follow me on Instagram at Kimberly J. Haldeman. To contact me for any questions or to leave a prayer request, DM me on Insta or head on over to my website at KimberlyJHaldeman.com. See you next time. God bless.